the way that He loves. I'm glad the way that Jesus loves. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. God's love is unconditional. And I like that. I like that. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Father, we want to thank You this morning for giving us an opportunity to meet once again in the house of God. And I pray that You may open our hearts, open our minds, as we open the Word of God and as we talk about love, that Your Holy Spirit may be with us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I had the title of the sermon as, Are You in Love? Are you in love? But as I was looking at that title, I decided, no, I think the title should be, Are You In or Still in Love? Because are you in love? I was thinking more of, you know, those maybe couples here that have met and they're still, their eyes, when you look at them, they kind of, when they look at each other. But, you know, I was thinking, no, if you love somebody, you could have been with them 40 years and still when you look at that person, your eyes kind of twinkle. Are you in or still in love? I remember it was 10 years ago. February the 14th was on a Sunday, 10 years ago, in 1999. And I had already asked permission from the parents if I could have the honor of asking their daughter to be my wife. And so that was kind of like a whole ordeal type of thing because you had to, you know, secretly call the parents and make sure that she doesn't know anything that's going to be taking place. And so we went to Bandon and we were coming back. And that was a stressful thing because, you know, it is stressful when you're going to ask your girlfriend to be your wife. That was stress in itself. But we went to Bandon, and then there's this, I don't even remember what the number is of that highway you cut across to come to I-5. But I made a mistake, and I was running out of gas. And I knew that if I ran out of gas, I was going to be hearing this for the rest of my life from my father-in-law. And he's here, so I'm not talking behind his back. And I was praying, no, I don't want to run out of gas because I could just hear it. Yeah, you ran out of gas. So we drove and made it all the way to Grants Pass, and there I was. And the other thing is that, you know, when I used to take my wife out, it was my girlfriend at the time. One of the things that might be old-fashioned, but there was a certain time that we always try to get her home by. And it was earlier than most people, hopefully. It was like what? What was it? Yeah, you had to be home. She was a nurse. She was studying to be a nurse. Anyways, so we got there and I had everything in the back. I had how many dozen of roses, honey? Was it 30? Three, and a big doll as a present. They were in the back, just in case. You know, because you don't know what the answer is going to be. And when I asked her, 15 minutes later, it seemed like 15 minutes later because there was a pause, you know. That pause, would you, you know, be my wife? Would you like to get married? That two-second pause sometimes seems like an eternity. You would expect an answer right away. And she took that pause, and then she said yes. And so I went and got her the 36 roses, I think it was. And so, and her gift, And now it's been 10 years. So last year my son said, "Dad, are you going to get mommy flowers?" And I don't know why he was saying since last year, Valentine's Day, "Are you going to get her flowers?" And I said, "I don't know." Because we decided, you know, we kind of talked and said, "We're not getting each other anything, right?" "Right. Okay. I love you, you love me." "Yes, we love each other, that's fine." But so I changed my mind, because this morning, these are for you. There are 36 roses. And 10 years, it's been 10 years. So, I didn't want to, as a matter of fact, I had them hidden here, because I didn't want, Jerry, any competition with your beautiful flowers here for your honor of your granddaughter. So I had them here, but somebody moved them out there, and I didn't have time to come and sneak them back out here. So anyways, are you or are you still in love? What is love? And that's the question that I asked many times. As a matter of fact, this morning I asked some of you, and I gave you a little paper like this. And I asked you, what is love? That's the question that says up here, what is love? So someone turn in their just one-liner. It says, what is love? Everlasting. Okay? Everlasting. What is love? When your wife asks for $40, you give it to her, and don't ask what it's for or asking for the change. What is love? A wife who cares about you. Okay. What is love? Desiring another's best regardless of how I feel. Selfless service. That is love. And I had two young people fill one of these out. What is love? It is not loving one in spite of their faults, but loving one with their faults. That's profound. What is love? A selfless, from a young person, a selfless, compassionate nature or lifestyle. So, what is love? I have some classic definitions that throughout the years I've gathered. And here's one. Love is a feeling you feel when you feel that you're going to get a feeling that you've never felt before. Love, and you know, and sometimes we do feel that way. We're so much in love, we can't even talk. Love is a feeling that you feel when you feel that you're going to get a feeling that you never felt before. But the next one is a classic one. I don't remember who even wrote that definition. But it's a classic one, I think. Love is a heterogeneous conglomeration of absurdity calculated to bamboozle the anatomy of the individual who becomes intoxicated with its abominable and irresistible power. That's kind of like a tongue twister, isn't it? What is love? You know, and love is sometimes a strange thing. Love is sometimes a strange thing. George Crane, he is a minister, also a doctor, and also a newspaper columnist. He tells the story of a wife that came into his office one day, and she had such hatred for her husband. I mean, hatred. And this is what she said. She says, "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has me." Wow. So here is Dr. Crane sitting with this lady in his office, and he's thinking, and finally he has this plan, and he says, "You know what? Go home. Go home and act like if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, as considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe you love him. And after you have convinced him of your undying love, that you cannot live without him, then, he says, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. Ooh. And the lady with revenge in her eyes, she said, beautiful. Yes, beautiful. That's what I'm going to do. That's such a great plan. And so with enthusiasm, she left and she was going to go act as if she loved this person. So 1 month went by, 2 months went by, and Dr. Crane decided, you know, I'm going to call her because she was supposed to be back. And he did. He said, are you ready to go through the divorce now? And she says, divorce? What do you mean divorce? Never. I discovered that I really do love him. What had happened? Her actions had changed her feelings. What is love? Back in Eden, God created, the Bible says, man and woman, and he united them in the first marriage that was ever performed. Marriage is a God-given thing. It's a God-given institution. God knew. So, this is what the devil is trying to do. The devil is trying to destroy every marriage. And those of us that are here are not immune to that. The devil works hard. It doesn't matter if you've been married 1 year. It doesn't matter if you've been married 40 years. The devil is trying to destroy marriages. And if you have children, he's even trying harder, because he knows if he destroys a marriage, what will happen? There will be a divided home. And if you have a divided home, children are the ones that suffer. And if children suffer, the devil has a greater opportunity to really get a hold of your children. So the devil is out there. And he doesn't target only the secular marriages. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think he gives extra time to you and I. Isn't that just kind of him? He pays extra attention to us. He wants to break a marriage. He wants to break your home. So the question is, are you in love? How could you tell if you are in love or you're still in love? Well, let's go quickly through some things. The first one, are you giving 100% of yourself? Secular view of marriage is that you come to a marriage and you give 50% and the other person gives 50%. That's how the way the world sees it. 50-50. Half and half. It is only fair, right? It's the fairest thing one could do, 50-50. Remember when you were young, my brother and sisters, we did the same. I don't know if you did. But whenever we had, something that we needed to share, let's say if it was a juice or something, and there was only one, well, it had to be 50-50. So we both got the glasses, you know, and you pour a little bit, till it was just 50-50. It had to be fair. So 50-50 is what the world thinks is a good marriage. But let me tell you something, what the Christians should be thinking. Christians should be thinking 100%. You're giving 100% of yourself. Regardless, And that's the way it should be. So are you in love? Do you still feel like you could give 100% of yourself? Do you like the person? This is sort of like a trick question for couples that are receiving premarital counseling. Because I ask them, do you like the person? Oh, I love her. No, that's not what I asked you. I asked, do you like the person? Like the person. Because I've heard, answers like, well, she has a good heart. Do you like the person? I mean, when you see your spouse, do you say, I like her, or I like him? Yeah, he's gained a little bit of weight around the waist, but I still like him, you know? Do you like the person? Are you still transparent with each other? A good marriage is based on trust. Do you agree with that? Trust. Trust. Because I've had a couple in past years come to me and they're having problems, and the wife says, Pastor, he's always late, and I'm wondering what he's doing when he's late. And I'm like, could you tell me what's going on? What's the problem? She said, and this is true, this is what she said. It, from work to here, it should take him 10 minutes. And sometimes he's 5 minutes late. You know, when we're in a situation, counseling situation, you don't want to smile and you take that seriously, but what could somebody do in 5 minutes? I mean, are you transparent with each other? This is a good example here. I like it. I don't have nothing to hide. So if my knees are shaking, you're seeing that his knees are shaking. You're transparent. There's nothing between me and you. We're transparent. And that's the way it should be with husband and wife or the person that you're in love with. Transparency. Are you dependent on each other? Now, before you say anything or think about it, there is a difference between codependency and being dependent on each other. Okay? Codependency is you can't go to the restroom without asking permission to do so. You're so dependent on that person for everything. I mean, everything. It's just like it's sick. It's a sickness. Being dependent on each other, on the other hand, is that you need the person. This other person complements you. God knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Isn't he wise? Yeah, we'd be eating Taco Bell for the rest of our life, gentlemen. He knew that we needed a helpmate. And I also believe that it's the vice versa. You know, we complement each other. Are you still dependent on each other? Or have you gotten so independent that you don't need the other person? Is your love self-centered? Is your love self-centered? I have a illustration here about love. A doctor wrote this. Dr. Richard Seltzer. And this is written in the perspective of a surgeon. I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in palsy, clownish, a tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, has been severed. She will be like this from now on. The surgeon had followed with religious fervor the curve of her flesh, and he says, I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut the little nerve. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Who are they, I ask myself, he and this wry mouth I have made, who gaze and touch each other so generously, greedily? The young woman speaks. Will my mouth always be like this, she asks. Yes, I say, it will. It is because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It is kind of cute. And all at once I know who he is. I understand, and I lower my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with a god. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate to hers, to show her that their kiss still works. That is selfless love. Because I've known of couples that the spouse has had an accident or disfigurement, and that's it. I got married with you because you were pretty or because you were handsome, but now I don't think I could do this. I got married with you because you were healthy and you were an athlete, and now look at you. I don't think I could do this anymore. I'm out of here. Is your love self-centered? And the other very important aspect of are you still in love is, do you have a mature love for Jesus? Where does this come into the whole picture of being in love? I'll tell you where it comes. If you don't have a mature love for Jesus, it's going to be very hard for you to love someone else. The Bible talks about two people becoming one. When a man and a woman get married, they become one. When two become one. But we got to go a step further than this, because in reality, to have a strong marriage, it should be three becoming one. Husband, wife, and God Himself. Jesus Christ in the marriage. A lot of the problems that we get into as husbands and wives, or as, you know, couples, a lot of problems could be resolved if we would have Jesus in our hearts. Because a lot of times, the love, it's a self-centered love. It's all about you. You made me angry. You made me sad. You made me this. You did, you know, it's all about me, how I feel. when we have Jesus, when we have a mature love for Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus is the rock of our foundation in marriage. And when you begin to see problems in your marriage, don't look at the other person first of all. Search within yourself and start thinking, how close or what has happened to my relationship with Jesus Christ? Because I can assure you that a lot of the problems begin to happen when we forget about Jesus Christ in our marriage. So having said that, then let's transfer all that I have said about the love for your spouse. And now the question is, are we in love with Christ? Are we in love or still in love with Christ? Just think about it. Are you willing to give 100%? When work bees come around, let somebody else do it. They don't need my help. When we need everybody to get together and we're going to go out and invite people to, whether it be evangelistic series or to VBS or to whatever it might be, are you willing to give 100% of yourself? But I'm busy. Yeah. I'm busy. Are you willing to give 100% of yourself? I still remind my wife that I was talking to her in front of the Grants Pass Church. That's where we met. And we were talking, and she said this: I am busy. Nursing school. And she went ahead and told me everything that she was doing. She was very busy. And I don't know if she was just trying to say, you know, get away. But I looked at her and I said, you know, everyone makes time for something they really want to do or like to do. And it's true. We make time for that which we like and want to do. Are you still willing to give 100% of yourself to Jesus Christ? Are we transparent with Christ? You know, this one's really hard because it's kind of hard at the end of the day to search our hearts and kneel before the Lord and tell Him exactly what happened, what we did, what we thought, what we said, what we thought we were going to say, the sins that we committed, the thoughts, that all that. It's very hard to be transparent with Christ. And we sometimes just lump it all and say, forgive me my sins that I committed this day, when we know exactly what we have done. But why is it so hard for us to be transparent with Christ? Listen, Christ knows your heart. He knows it all already. Why not be transparent with Him? Are you in love with Jesus? Be transparent with Him. Is our love self-centered? Why do you want to go to heaven? I have a mansion, and I'm going to fly, and I'm going to visit all kinds of things. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to pay rent. I've heard all of these. I'm not going to. Does that sound like somebody I you know, if we're in love with Jesus Christ, it should be all about the person we're in love with Jesus. Is your love self-centered? Do you depend on Jesus? This one's another hard one also. If you're a leader, if you have a business, you depend on other people. And if you are a business person and you have your manager, you choose that manager because you depend on that person and you don't have to worry about it, right? Hopefully, if you have a good manager. And the problem is that we say we depend on Jesus, and yet we give Him everything that He needs to take care of in our life. So why do we worry? Because sometimes we don't think that He is, what, doing something fast enough, or He's not answering our prayers according to what we think they should be. Do you depend on Jesus? Truth is that you and I are here today because God is giving us the right to live. Every beat that you are taking right now, your heart is taking, is not because of a natural thing that happens, like some, you know, when we are born, the heart starts ticking and we think that, oh, it's something natural that happens. Everybody goes through it. The heart keeps beating until it stops beating. It's a natural thing that happens. No, we are dependent on Jesus Christ. We are dependent on God for that to happen every second of our life. Are you in love with Christ? Then the question is, our Christian experience an experience of love? You know, as I was thinking of this, I thought about something that I had not seen this in this light, but the parable of the seed, the sower that went to scatter the seeds, that's about love. It is about love. Think about it. The person that receives the seed, or the seed that falls on the path, is compared to the person that doesn't want anything to do with a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Basically, I don't want you in my heart. And the devil comes and takes that seed away. The seed that falls on the rocks. You know, it's kind of like this, an infatuated person. Love for that person, it's an infatuation. Oh, feeling. But when the trials start coming, what happens to that person? A person just leaves Jesus Christ. No, it's too hard. I'm not going to give 100% of myself. Same thing with the weeds. You know, that all those trials, the trials of life start choking that little plant and eventually dies. Is your Christian experience an experience of love? Why are you here today? I hope you're here because you love Jesus Christ, because of what He has done for you. He died on that cross for you. He resurrected and He's coming back for you. And He loves you so much that He's willing to do that. And I hope you're here because you want to pay homage. You want to give honor and glory to that God that loved you regardless of your sins. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there's a Book of Revelation, for some people, they say, wow, I don't even want to go there because it has too many things I don't understand. But right at the beginning of the chapter, I mean, the book, chapter 1 and 2, especially chapter 2 is where the churches, the seven churches, a message to the seven churches. Seven churches were literal churches. The seven churches were churches that were, as a matter of fact, the order that they are, were in the order that somebody, if you were a messenger, that's the order that you would take to deliver the messages. The church of Ephesus is the first church that receives a message. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things I say to you. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." And then verse 2 says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." So the church of Ephesus has some positive things. It's a church that has patience. In the book of Revelations, it talks about the patience of the saints. And I hope all of us are learning to be patient with each other. Because the more we learn to be patient with each other, the more we're going to love each other. And the more we love each other, the more people are going to be attracted to Jesus Christ because of the love that we show toward one another. So they had patience. This church didn't bear evil. What was right, and what was wrong is wrong. It's as simple as that. And we need to learn to stand for what is right. There are some things that we as Adventists believe that other people don't necessarily believe that way. And sometimes we are afraid of standing up for what is right. Why? Well, the majority of the people aren't doing this, and we're going to seem like a little weird bunch of little a group that's kind of weird. And is it right? If it's biblical, then stand up for Jesus Christ, regardless if the, you know, out of 199 are going to oppose you. Stand up for what is right. This is what the church at Ephesus, they didn't bear evil. They also had another thing. They were hard workers. Doesn't say whether it was physical work or going out and evangelizing. They were just hard workers, overall hard workers. And there are a lot of hard workers here at Valley View. A lot of hard workers. And all these things were good. And then the angel says, "But there's something I have against you. That you had departed from your first love." You have departed from your first love. Which makes me wonder if they have lost that first love. Makes me wonder if the hard work they were doing was not based on love, but on works. Everything that you do for Jesus Christ should be based on the love that you have for Him. And not on the fact that if you don't do it, He's going to be mad at you, or God is not going to, you know, give you the brownie points that you deserve to be going to heaven, or however else you want to think about it. The church at Ephesus had lost their first love. And you know, a person that has love for Jesus Christ for the first time, how are they? They're excited. They come into the church. They want to, you know, turn the church upside down. They want to go out visiting. They want to go out and tell their friends about it. They come to you and say, "What is the church doing? Let's go out. Let's go out and knock on the doors. Let's go out and preach. I want to preach. I want to give Bible studies. And you're just overwhelmed." And some people, I have heard stories of some Adventists that have been in the church long enough. When someone comes with the first love, they look at them and they say, "Don't worry. In a few years, you'll be like the rest of us." Are you in love with Christ? Remember when I proposed to my wife? First thing she did, she started calling her mom, she started making calls. Why? She didn't want to keep it a secret. It was something that she wanted to tell everybody. And I don't know what happened with your experience when you asked your girlfriend to be your wife, or your wife right now, or... You know, what was your experience? Did you want to just keep it silent? Let's not tell anybody. As a matter of fact, when we get married, let's just get married in a little corner over there and let's just invite the pastor. And maybe some have gotten married like that, but for financial reasons. But for the most part, you invite people because you want them to know that the person next to you is going to be your husband, is going to be your wife. And you want to broadcast it to everybody. That's when you're in love. Now the question is, after 10, 15, 20 years, do you still want to do the same thing? Are you in love with Jesus Christ? The demoniac fell in love with Jesus because he did something for him. He saved him from all those demons that he had. And that demoniac asked Jesus, "I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I love you so much, I want to go with you." Jesus said, "No, you'll do better if you stay here with the people that have known you." The woman at the well, she fell in love with Jesus and she ran to the city to tell them about Jesus. A lot of people in the Bible met Jesus and they ran back to their friends and say, "Come and see, I found the Messiah. We have found the love of our lives. Come and see." So Jesus Christ is coming. And He is asking, "Are you still in love with me? Are you willing to give 100% of yourself? Are you willing to be transparent with me? Are you willing to give all of you to my cause?" And Jesus says, "My cause is sometimes going to be it's going to be hard. Sometimes people are going to hate you because you're Christians, because you're followers of Jesus. Sometimes they're going to do all kinds of things to you. But are you willing to still do that for me? Are you in love with Jesus Christ?" This song, and I'm going to invite those that are leading out to come up and lead us. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet sound in your ear. As we sing, I just ask that you lift your heart to the Lord. Lift the prayer to Jesus Christ. Lift the prayer to God and be transparent with Him. If you have not been in love with Him, if you're just have been infatuated with Him. Infatuation and love are sort of similar. Sometimes the only difference is the test of time. An infatuated person only lasts until the problems start coming, until financial problems hit the marriage, until physical problems come into the marriage, well, whatever. When that happens, they're out of there. Someone with true love sticks behind the partner, the spouse, for the long haul. Do you love Jesus? Let's stand together and sing to Him. And once again, give your heart to Him. Talk to Him. Be transparent with Him.
We'll be singing that through two times.
Father, I pray that this morning, what you heard from us, you have seen our hearts, you have read our hearts, you know how we worshiped this morning. And I pray that it may have been a sweet sound to your ear. Father, I pray that each one of us may search our hearts and really come to an understanding of where we're at with our love for Jesus. Is it still 100%? And if it isn't, Father, I just pray that you may work in our hearts, transform our hearts, mold us into the image and to the likeness of Jesus. Thank you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.